In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, Louise Reed, and Karen Stewart, as we have perhaps one of the most strategic and needed conversations of how you survive this season. Hello, loyal listeners, and a very warm welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. I am joined in the studio by your favourite, Louise Reed. How are you, Louise?
I'm warm.
You're warm.
You've just turned on heat. Now I'm really warm.
Seriously, I need to introduce our next guest before. And another one of your favourites, Karen Stewart. How are you, Karen?
Who is getting toasty.
You're getting toasty
and warm. I am getting toasty and warm.
See, we're all a bit stunned in Scotland because we've come down to 10 degrees. None of us know quite what to do.
Yeah.
So we've just switched out, literally just switched out the aircon machine and switched in the heater. And we're talking about laundry. Before we switched on the camera, I'm so sorry, Louise Reed loves laundry.
Well, Emma Stark thinks I love laundry.
You do.
I do quite love it. There's something about it. It's the complete or finisher bit that I'm not very good at in other things. But I love a bit of laundry, taking it from step one to the final step. There's something that's great about it, the clean laundry.
Uh-huh.
Marvellous.
I think you need to release an impartation immediately.
Well,
because
the impartation,
I can't be doing with it.
The impartation is not just to do laundry, but it's to bring back the clothesline.
That was,
which
yes.
In this younger generation, they do not understand there is a clothesline and there is natural. There is wind out there that is looking to dry your clothes.
I have concerns about the clothesline in Scotland. Because your birds are obnoxious.
Oh.
And so when you put the clothes out on the line, do they understand that that's a no-fly zone?
Well, I don't know. I haven't.
I couldn't be bothered putting my clothes on the line here.
But they get wet, and then they
all
freeze.
The things that need that yes. don't need to happen with clothes
outdoors. Yes, you do
outdoors.
Have to choose your moment.
Right. Mm-hmm. My husband is gifted at laundry.
Yes, he is.
I think we just leave that there.
Good. I'm glad we got that sorted.
There you go.
We just released the impartation.
This is because you want us all to put vinegar in our
right.
laundry loads.
It's just a little.
And
like
no
how much?
Fabric softener.
But then forget
you'll
the
have
fabric
to
softener.
Iron, don't you?
No. This is now getting complex. We're now into the advanced level laundry. We need to do a whole podcast on that one.
I'm just saying,
don't get fabric softener. Stick a bit, particularly with towels and things like that. Stick a bit of vinegar in. It's
what
natural.
Sort of vinegar? Not brown vinegar, surely.
No, not brown vinegar. No. Just white vinegar. And your towels will be beautifully fluffy and soft. Test it, my friends.
Where do you put it? Like in the drum?
No, put it in where you would put the fabric softener.
How much?
Really? Instead of the fabric softener?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Not a huge amount.
I don't want to smell like the fish and chip
no,
shop.
No, you won't smell like the fish and chip shop. No, you won't. You can put a little bit of something that smells. Spray your stuff when it comes out if you want.
Now you've made it a whole extra job.
See, this is the thing. This is advanced level laundry. I'm telling you.
Who knew?
It's as our friend here would say.
I didn't know.
It's a whole thing. As you would say.
Apparently I do say that.
Yeah, we tease Karen Stewart because she says,
apparently.
It's a whole thing.
I can assure you that I do not have a song that goes with it or a melody.
Okay.
I can assure you. Unlike everything
that
you say comes with a song.
Everything is a song.
Everything
is a song.
Not necessarily with the right words, but it's a song. Yeah.
Okay. Now that we've given you your laundry tips, should we give you spiritual tips for today?
Mm-hmm.
And if your clothes stink of vinegar, don't blame me. Louise Reed.
Louise Reed, ladies and gentlemen.
No, particularly with your towels. Try it.
Right.
Okay.
Karen, you have a word of the Lord. Hit us with it. Elevate us from the laundry to the cleanliness of the fire of God. I'm trying to find you a link, friend.
Yeah. My goodness.
Just go for it, Karen.
Just go for it.
Yeah.
It is very obvious and evident to pretty much everyone. We've been saying and using the language of a new epoch for quite some time. And recently, a very erudite scholar, made it clear we had already moved into a new epoch probably before 2020.
Yes.
So this isn't really a new epoch, but it is indeed a new level mm-hmm. within the new epoch. And it seems as though with this new level, which everyone was very clear that September was a pivotal month.
It is.
That had been spoken mm-hmm. across not just our airwaves, but everywhere.
Yeah.
And as we've gone into September, even leading up to September, the warfare has been absolutely intense. Fierce. And it's been intense. And
can we just have a nod of the head yeah. and a hearty yes?
Yeah.
And for our listeners, just to go, oh, whew, relief. Yeah. It's not just
it was
me.
Not just
the
you.
Warfare has increased.
Intense.
There is a tension. There is a stretching.
It really has been.
There is almost an increase within the mind, an increase of the pressure on the physical frame.
Yes.
A hostility in the night against your sleep.
Yes.
Relationships that really need some extra TLC. We're in all of that, and it's all an upping of the warfare. Keep going,
yes, Sarah. Yes, it is. It's mm-hmm. almost like it rose and rose, and there was a gradual, like almost like, you know how water continues to grow and grow and grow. That's how I saw it.
Yeah.
Like water. But it was the warfare, and it was coming from everywhere and has been coming from everywhere. So we come into September, and certainly us here in Glasgow, we all knew, certainly the intercessors were really digging into this, knowing that when the conference came, there was going to be an excess beyond, above and beyond what mm-hmm. we had seen. And surely we saw that even in the lead up. Mm-hmm. And we're faithfully praying through it. What I have found, A, that did happen. B, it has not stopped. Mm-hmm. C, everyone is surprised. And I think that's the part for me that has to be addressed. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be surprised. We should never have been surprised. And we shouldn't be surprised now, because you don't move into another level. Anyone who was thinking that we were going to coast along mm-hmm. and just coast into the next wave, that was very naive.
Yes.
It was naive, and it was also immature, because it meant that we were not prepared for the battle that was to come.
Because when you're shocked about warfare, the trajectory you're taking us on there is the shock has a startling effect, and
right.
then it derails you, rather than the face like flint that goes, oh, this is just normal. And then you go, okay, it's normal, and I know
we
what
need
it is
to
level
it.
Up.
That's it. And I feel like that's the part that was missed. I feel like enough people knew, yes, September is pivotal. Yes, something will be birthed. Yes, there will be a turning of the page. I didn't feel like there was enough alertness on the front end with the fight against it, but we managed to get into September and fight the fight. And now it's like, what do we do? Are we not praying right? Did we not see? How do we not see? How do we not know? Mm-hmm. And how do we not expect? And I'm not saying expect. We're not expecting the devil and all of the demons.
No, because we're not empowering him.
At all. And that's not what I'm saying at all. But we should not be shocked for us to go into another level, which is an entirely different posture and place of where we've been from a kingdom perspective. It's very naive to think that we're not in a battle about that, and that all of the spirit realm would not be alert as we were that it was to come. They were alert on the other side that it was to come, and that, oh my goodness, it happened, and we've gone and crossed over. And so that's the thing that's been on my mind, the surprise factor, which needs to be dealt with. It needs to stop. We should not be surprised. We should be ready to deal with it and keep it moving.
Because I think, Louise, when you allow yourself to be shocked by the season, and there is a condition called future shock that experts in this area write about, particularly in the deeper healing world, that we are moving into a time where the future will continue to shock us. And if we don't have a way of dealing with it, a way of foresight, a way of building to withstand the ongoing rhythms and incoming tidal wave of future shock. Let's put future shock within inverted commas, future shock. And that future shock, if we don't talk today and find a strategy, is going to be a continual force of derailment because of the level of changes. And obviously you're a deeper healing ninja.
Well, yes. I mean, it is so important.
Mm-hmm.
I think our future shock is often it's colored and it's put together by our previous shock and trauma.
Yes.
Which goes back to our whole thing of, if you have dealt with your previous shock and trauma and dealt with some of that that's happened in your life, well, then your ability to deal with things going forward is very different. We can't afford to be sitting in a place where we're holding anything of past stuff, because what is before us and what is coming is going to take a fullness of weight of sense of sense of self and healing and wholeness and being anchored and positioned for the future. We're going to need every single muscle, spiritual, emotional, psychological, social, relational, physical in place for what's coming. So that would be my first comment on that.
Let me give you a overarching sense of where we are in terms of the history of the timings of God and explain how slowly some things move. So this next couple of minutes should help us review where we've been in the last few years and where we're about to go. What we understand about season changes, epoch changes, however we phrase that, is they're often slow and you don't realise you are in one for many years. Mm-hmm. Let's take specifically World War II. And what we understand is that people weren't calling it World War II for some considerable years, even into the process, and that most things are named and dated after the fact. Mm-hmm. And retrospectively, we look back and we say, well, that was this, and we name it and we date it and we give it a beginning and we give it an end. But when you are beginning it and you are in it, you don't understand what quite the fullness of what you are in is or what quite is happening. So when we hit the year 2000 and God really hit a 500-year reset button at the year 2000, we entered a different time. We moved from the era or the epoch of the church and into the age of the ecclesia and the kingdom. It takes an awful lot of time for some things to outwork within that. Right now, what we're in is the head up into the lag time, the lead time into a third world war, and the fullness of the latter chapters of Matthew, where we live in wars and rumors of wars. We are also in the days of the separation of the remnant from the remnant. We are also therefore in the days of purification of a bride made ready. We are also in the days of harvest. And so simultaneously, an awful lot of things are happening at once. Now, those are not instant. None of those are instant. And that means that we are in perpetual volatility and perpetual change. You have to know that. And that means a real ramping up of the warfare almost constantly. Now, we've got to help you safeguard. I'll come to that and we'll come to that. But we have to understand what is happening in the season. So that is kind of the broader overview. Let's go straight into 2025. The word of the Lord from the prophets was that 2025 was the pivotal year. It is. Mm-hmm. That was a right word. We all saw it. We all felt it. We're living it. We also had that September was the pivotal month within the pivotal year. Now, you and I would like to think, hey, something, clap my hands, click my fingers, it would change, we would regroup. That is not how it is. Mm-hmm. When you're in a pivotal year, you are learning that sides are being formed, that breakdown in alignments are happening, that truth and lies are being seen, that we're starting to go, I can't be with you, but I can be with you. You're starting to understand that the culture war or the social media war is moving into a civil war. It's not fully complete, but the pivot of the year is having effect, is taking impact. And so in September, you get the heightened effect of that. You get deaths and shootings in America. You get Putin deciding to not play ball with the international community, to not back down from the war in Ukraine. You get the naming of the Gaza situation today. What date is today? The 16th of September. You get the naming today by the UN of Gaza being a genocide. Mm-hmm. You get pivotal things happening. You get the September meeting of India, North Korea, Russia together forming new alliances. You start to see that pivotal things are happening. You see America being at its most distrusted mm-hmm. by the international community. You get the tariffs starting to bite. You get the rise and the turnaround of the money markets in Asia and the Japanese yen. So you start to see all of this international turning in 2025, and particularly in September. You couldn't feel any other way but shaken. But it's not come to a conclusion. It's not come to a head. It is just the pivotal year and the pivotal month. Where does that drop you? That drops you into what we call liminal space. And liminal space is still in between space where you don't get complete resolution and you don't get complete war. You just get the turning and the breaking of the way it has been. Ladies, that's the context.
Yeah.
My goodness, that's the neither here nor there.
Yes.
And that is another thing so many people are feeling and have been feeling, even people who are in transition, the awareness of I'm neither here nor there. And I think sometimes when you demonstrate for us and such a brilliant picture of where we are on a very broad scale.
Even the march in London, where it was September, that didn't conclude anything, but showed that there was a pivoting in the nation.
A pivoting. Yeah. And sometimes I think individually, we lose ourselves in that overarching narrative. Because somebody will be watching us and say, yeah, okay, but I wasn't at the big summit in Russia with them, and okay, they named Gaza, and they did. And on a very personal level, sometimes I think this is how we disconnect from where we are because we don't see ourselves in that story, which is brilliant because it is the overarching reality of how we're dealing personally with our day-to-day lives. We don't understand how connected we are to the arc of where we are in history. And I think that's where part of the disconnect happens that makes us so shocked when whatever the thing is that we're walking through, because we don't understand we're not just floating around and what's happening
we're
to you is not just,
yes.
we are part of it and it's happening to you because of where we are in this arc of history.
And let me explain some of those things, you know, so this month, Emmanuel Macron loses his prime minister and the whole shaking of mainland Europe in that. This month, you get Putin flying drones over Poland and Europe shakes because Putin is threatening the rest of Europe. This month, with the highest legal entity in the world, apart from the international court, you get the naming of Gaza as a genocide. That will change forever nations' relationships with Israel, no matter which way you stand in that or how you view that. Today, because of that ruling, it changes the nation's response forever to Israel because of what has been decided by international law. What happened in India with that meeting, it changes forever because the East has agreed to work together. It changes forever their need for Europe and how they relate with America because of Trump Trump and his Make America Great Again, whether you are for or against that, mm-hmm. what it has done of putting America first, it changes forever the trustworthiness of America with other nations. I mean, and the list goes on. So what we're saying is we are in a world that has pivoted. I mean, I have lists of this, of just the information of what is happening that makes it feel chaotic, mm-hmm. that, yeah. but it's a pivoting year. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be able to say the prophets got that right, but nothing feels resolved because we're not walking out it yet. We're still in the pivoting of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Such a high level of volatility.
Yes.
Such a high level of uncertainty.
Yes.
And I don't know, but I reflect for myself the age that I am.
Which is?
Young.
Sorry.
59.
But it's important.
It is important.
Because you're not quite boomer.
No, I'm not. Right. I'm Gen X.
Mm-hmm.
And I look and I think about the level on a personal level,
yeah.
how much of a marriage there is to comfort and to peace and living in a mm-hmm. society that at a level functions fairly well. Mm-hmm. And how everything has changed.
And we've never lived through anything like this.
We haven't lived through this before in this age group. Neither as the church have mm-hmm. we been this way before. So we're dealing with on a general worldwide and the age that I am. And Karen's nearer to my age than I am to you, Emma.
Yeah.
But we're all in this together. It's completely different. Plus, as believers and in the kingdom and as prophets, it is a whole new space.
It is.
And the liminal space that a pivot year creates.
It mm-hmm. is. It's and there's the general sense,
yeah.
but then there's also the very personalized way that we respond to it. And we have the way we respond mm-hmm. to the situation is going to affect how things go.
Yes.
Equally, just as much as how things on the macro affects the mm-hmm. micro. One mm-hmm. affects the other.
Yes.
So it's a whole new space that we're in.
And we're not even talked about AI.
No.
Because at the moment, the stats are that 20% of our day-to-day life is governed by AI, but very quickly it's going to be our entire world operating system. Mm-hmm. And that alone is a future shock, mm-hmm. let alone the pivot of the world operating system within the pivot of world leadership and international relationships fracturing and civil war. So in all of that, pivot year, liminal space being the two key words. Mm. Give us, Karen and Louise, how do you survive the ramping up of spiritual warfare? Mm-hmm. What do you need to very practically put in your life? And how do you then safeguard against what we know is going to be like incoming, the future shock is going to be like repetitive earthquakes mm-hmm. because it's going to be tectonically significant, cataclysmic, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. level of the future shock that hits mm-hmm. because the pivot year hasn't finished.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're in the middle of it.
And this month, I feel that the Lord is talking about this month is so important for your own personal reset to rearm mm-hmm. yourself, be aware, and deal with some stuff post summer. Mm-hmm. Now we're in September, mm-hmm. this important month. So the warfare aspect, getting yourself attuned correctly to the Lord and to one another. And I think this is really important. And the simplicity of not loving your life as to shrink from death. Mm-hmm. I think we're at that stage mm-hmm. in our discipleship, being very clear about getting rid of the things out of our lives mm-hmm. that are taking up space. I mean, we've talked about that before, mm-hmm. but I think it's really it's really on point mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. There's a whole thing about buying and selling mm-hmm. and where you must be in the right place. And that's not a panic thing. That's make the decision and pursue that because mm-hmm. that will work itself out mm-hmm. in the next number of months. And being warfare aware. I mean, we know as things get darker, the glory of the Lord is increasing. Mm-hmm. So being so aware of living in the glory mm-hmm. of God so that you can deal with the darkness mm-hmm. of what's happening around. Mm-hmm. And remembering that we have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. we're on the right side here, and we need to deal with fear. There's going to be huge fear just mm-hmm. pervasive mm-hmm. in the atmosphere. Yeah. So we need to be a people that are living in trust and living in the love of God and the glory of mm-hmm. God so that we have something to offer. And mm-hmm. everybody has something to offer in mm-hmm. that to their neighbors, to their friends. And that's beside the whole wider mm-hmm. Arc of what you're saying, Emma, yeah. that is happening in the earth. But on a personal level, this is a reset month for every believer.
Yeah, I agree. And I believe that is why something you said even earlier, and you started mm. us down that road, this healing piece mm. is going to be critical. Mm. This means not just inner healing and personal deliverance, but even physical health, which mm-hmm. we've talked about. Everybody yeah. has a very much a physical health on their mind right mm-hmm. now. And this is also not just getting better, getting smaller, losing weight, but this is you no longer have the luxury of ignoring yeah. things that we have been able to endure. Mm. So there are things that we say, oh, this is not a big mm-hmm. deal. All right, I'll just deal with this. We no longer have the luxury of ignoring things that we've been able to mm-hmm. endure, whether that is in our physical body or in our hearts or mm-hmm. in our lives. It has to be dealt with yeah. because these things are going to weaken our position. Forget about warfare. You can't fight when you're weak. Mm, and
that
if that's
true.
A mind thing, if it's a body thing, if it's whatever, if your relationships, yeah. if it's in relationship, and we talked about this earlier, there's only three areas, right? From a personal level, it's health, wealth, and relationships. You got to get your money together. You got to get your health together. Yeah. You got to make sure your relationships are correct. So mm-hmm. if there is weakness in any mm-hmm. of those areas, you're not going to be able to fight. Why? Because you can't focus on a mm-hmm. fight when your body is not right, when your money is not right, mm-hmm. when your family is not right. You're not going to be able to engage in the war that is before you. So I really feel like that emotional well-being as well as physical mm-hmm. well-being has got to be top right now mm-hmm. above all the other things. If you're going into, we have to shift our minds and be ready to engage with the Spirit mm-hmm. of God and to live mm-hmm. and dwell in the glory of God. And I think we all know this. When you don't feel good, you can't do anything. You can't yeah. even focus. Forget about fighting and forget about trying to connect with God. Because as we were talking about earlier, even when I worship, it's not even about Him. I'm just worshiping so I can get a minute and the Lord can do something yeah. for me in the moment. So everything is off when you're not mm. rightly yeah. aligned. And so I think yeah. that's going to be a key. Everybody
helpful.
Can tell you about warfare. Everybody can tell you about all those things. Let's get the basics down so we're ready.
Yeah, I do think that warfare and our ability to survive happens best in small rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to bash too much the larger corporate gathering. We do host them and they absolutely have their place.
They have their place.
And movements need their corporate gatherings. Mm-hmm. They need to be able to see each other. Good movements need larger events where they feel part of something and it holds them enough to go back to their smaller worlds. I do think that the church in its worst forms, the church in its worst days, does not hold us well. And it might provide a valuable tick a box, felt a wee bit better, raised my hands in the sanctuary. But it's very difficult in the more structured, traditional forms of church to feel seen to. It's always the dilemma of church leaders. How do you make a people belong? Mm-hmm. It always is. Mm-hmm. How do you really scratch an itch, meet a need, all of that? Mm-hmm. And once you've got the mass movement of people, and we've. David and I had the pleasure of leading small, medium, large and being around all of those dynamics of small, medium and large gatherings of people. And they do very different things and they are needed to do very different things. Today, the medicine is a little bit different and it is about the table. Mm-hmm. And the table is that mm-hmm. place where you eat and you're seen and where life is shared. And it's not just I ate a meal and I took communion and we had a wee worship, But the table is going to become this place where there is something that we would need to call belonging. And the table is a place of belonging and sharpening and protection. A belonging, sharpening, protection, it's not just family. It's something deeper than that. Because the family of God is a family that covers each other. And not all families produce that. Mm-hmm. Not all families produce decent mm-hmm. sense of belonging and warfare and covering and guarding and growing and worship. And so the sense there is, how can I find my table? How can I curate my table? Mm-hmm. And you still need that mass sense of mm-hmm. I'm in the swell of a group of robust believers, or they look robust and it does my heart good, mm-hmm. whether maybe they're pretending and we can live with that. But there is something of the vulnerability of a certain sort of curated table space that you have to be in weekly that I think is the key to surviving the season. I think we've often said that the structures and the framework that we have are just not going to cut the mustard mm-hmm. for where we are going. Mm-hmm. And I think we are now, it's a now pivotal month. Now is the sense of like, and so your bewilderment over church is right. And I think if you try to change the monolith of a large corporate gathering and you sink your energies into that, that's a wrong way to use your energy. Because actually what you need to be doing is birthing a key table in your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And curating a key table. And then you won't be as irritated by the regular rhythm of a church, mm-hmm. because how long can you go on being irritated by it? Seriously. It's tedious. Mm-hmm. And don't fight it. Bless it for what it is. If it's not changing, bless it for what it is. You don't need to walk away. You can turn up and be a bit like nonplussed by it. But if you don't have a pivotal table of wellness and warfare and belonging and food, you just won't survive. In fact, your pivotal table of belonging is going to enable you to survive even the mediocrity of your church.
Yeah. And there's a whole world, Emma, of it's, I suppose some could say, Well, it's easy to speak that out. And we are getting hold mm-hmm. of not just the concept, but how that can work. Yeah. But we do need to have those conversations of how a table works.
Yes.
And what to do and how to be and to be mm-hmm. awkward about it mm-hmm. as we start. But it's such a word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. If you are... you use the word bewildered, and I think it's a great word. Bewildered in church. I'm doing the same thing and over again. And what actually is being produced other than we are treading water? We're just treading water, but we're not advancing. If you really feel that level of bewilderment, the call of God is on you to get people around your table and start to do life at a different level. And there is an urgency on that to just go do it. And it surprised me in a gathering here last week how many people are actually already doing that. And that is where they find real life. They find purpose and they find that strength from one another to do life at a different level. Mm-hmm. And can I say, this is not a reworking of the home groups of the 1980s. Right. It is not that. So do not hear it.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus never does the same thing again. Mm-hmm. It always is reinvented. It's got a fresh life, a fresh spirit on it, because this is the ecclesia. So the worship that you'll engage in will be very different because it's not a few nice songs just to warm up the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You're getting into governmental, legislative, decreeing worship together at quickly and at a different level. And we've got to do trial and error. Mm-hmm. We've got to work this out and we've got to share our stories so that we can help one another. Because as you say, this is not where you will just survive, but this is where you will thrive. Yeah. And as we see the future come into being and changes where it may not be possible to meet together like we used to in large groups, This is going to, we need this in place so that we have that, just that anchor with the Lord and with one another together. Yeah, it's a whole changed world.
It really is. And that sense, something you said earlier, the sense of belonging.
Yeah.
Yes.
Identity and belonging.
Something happens in that small, concentrated group where you're no longer battling to make everyone feel that they belong. It is in it an inherent sense of belong. These are my people. And that does what? That makes the fight different. Because if one is down, everyone's going.
Yeah.
You can't help it because you are that close. You feel, what does it say? You are touched with the infirmities of another just because you genuinely are connected. It's an entirely different way of doing what we do. I know we saw, and it certainly had nothing to do with the table, but we saw, and I heard so many comments about at the end of the conference as we had three people who were leaving.
Because we've just done our annual Global Prophetic Alliance conference in Glasgow.
Right, yes. And this is separate now. You've got the staff team who three of the members are moving forward and moving into their next.
Well, they're birthing GPA Japan and GPA London. And
it was a, and obviously we're talking about a table, but I'm really trying to give the picture of a belonging. Because then here it had been, everybody was not able to gather as a formal, it's time to send them happen. And it just kind of evolved on that stage. There's hundreds of people in that room
watching us.
And it started as, oh, we're just going to come on the stage and we're going to all sing together. And it evolved into, but wait a minute, we're all here with family and part of our family is moving on. And for us to come around and do what we called the pylon in front of everybody.
It so wasn't planned.
It was, but it was amazing. And it impacted so many people because they saw the belonging of us to one another.
Yeah, and genuine.
And they really did. Genuine. And they saw it in the midst of hundreds of people in a room. And yet as they watched us, it was like we were in that room alone. And that's what happens when there is a sense of belonging to one another. And that's what the table helps us to get to and experience.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually got on the platform to lead the actions to Ali's new song, Higher, Further, Wider, Higher, Deeper. And then we ended up in a wee huddle in the middle of the platform because we were sending and commissioning.
And that's another point, that intimacy, the oneness, the belonging, it doesn't produce something that is small and exclusive. Instead, what it produces is it's life-giving, and therefore it's multiplication and it's sending out and it's development.
Yes.
So that is a real picture of that. The success of intimacy with one another is the sending out. Mm-hmm. It's the true apostolic.
Yeah, it really is, and it really was, and it was on display.
Yes, which we hadn't planned at all.
Right.
Well, thank you very much for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. There's a lot of homework, my friends, from that in terms of how you curate and lead your table and how you survive a pivotal year and pivotal months within that when it's still a liminal in-between state. So we bless you as you advance into this. Join us very soon for another episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello friends, I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.